This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Our title today is about the greatest companion to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who is the greatest of the Sahaba? What would you guess? Okay, a couple of guesses for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Excellent. Today our session is about Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, the greatest companion. I want you to utilize the following ayah. You have this, I believe, in your binder. You can go to Quran.com, Surah 9, Surah At-Tawbah, verse 40. Surah At-Tawbah, Surah number 9, verse 40, 40. And let's cover this ayah together, and then we'll give the context to this, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
إلا تنصروه فقد نصره الله إذ أخرجه الذين كفروا ثاني اثنين إذ هما في الغار إذ يقول لصاحبه لا تحزن إن الله معنا فأنزل الله سكينته عليه وأيده بجنود لم تروها وجعل كلمة الذين كفروا السفلى وكلمة الله هي العليا والله عزيز حكيم.
Translated as what? It does not matter if you, believers, do not support him. For in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala supported him when the disbelievers drove him out of Mecca, when they kicked him out. And he was only one of two, meaning there were two. While they were both in the cave, he reassured his companion, do not worry, Allah is certainly with us. لا تحزن إن الله معنا. لا تحزن إن الله معنا. So Allah sent down serenity, tranquility upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Supported him with forces that you believers did not see. And he made the word of the disbelievers lowest, meaning he was disgraced, while the word of Allah, we know, is supreme. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is almighty, all wise. The one who accompanied the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was foretold. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that he had a dream in which he was shown the place or the land in which he would migrate and informed Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to prepare for that journey. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, quick trivia question here, what is his actual name? What was his name before this title of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq? Quick trivia questions here. We're embedding trivia into our live program, inshallah. Abdullah bin Uthman, excellent. Abdullah bin Uthman. Also, Abdullah bin Abi Quhafa. You can utilize both of these, inshallah ta'ala. And his father, Uthman, Abu Quhafa, he basically, and in Arabic, Abi Quhafa, he accepted Islam on the day of victory in Mecca. And his mother, Salma, also known as Umm al-Khayr, she embraced Islam early and she also migrated to Medina. In terms of the tartib, the order of male companions who embraced Islam, where does Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu lie? Meaning, where is Abu Bakr in that order? Was he the fifth? Was he the third? Was he the tenth? The second amongst the male companions? He was the first to embrace Islam. As many of the historians have stated. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Why is this so important, this ayah right here? Think about the story of the migration, the hijrah and the cave of Thawr. The cave of Thawr is the cave in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sought refuge at the start of their migration. And the migration here, the hijrah to Medina, as they were escaping the persecution of the pagans in Quraysh, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the 14th year of prophethood, approximately September of year 622 CE, he went to the house of his companion, the one he trusts the most with his company and his property, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And they both left the house of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu from an area that was not expected. And they hurried before dawn, knowing that Quraysh would chase after them, what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Abu Bakr do? Rather than taking the road north, basically to Medina, this is what the mushrikeen had been expecting, and this is what they would rather expect. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took a road in the opposite direction, south of Mecca, leading to basically Yemen, for several miles, kilometers, approximately 5 miles, I believe, until they reached a rough, rocky area, a rough, rocky mountain called Thawr. And there, the shoes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we would imagine, are worn out. And some of the historians said perhaps they were trying to tiptoe so there would not be a clear trail behind them. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu assisted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam up that mountain to the cave of Thawr again. And when they reached the cave, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, "By Allah, you will not enter until I've entered before you, in case there's something harmful inside, so that I would rather it would affect me rather than affecting you." Think of the status of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He went in and he made sure it was cleaned out, found basically a hole in its side, inside the cave. So he tore off part of his waist garment and he plugged the hole with it. There were two more holes in that cave, so he plugged them with his feet, like blocked them with his own feet, radiallahu anhu. And then he told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he could enter, that it was safe to enter. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered, and when he came, he laid his head in the lap of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and eventually fell asleep. Can't imagine how tired they were. Suddenly, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, his foot was stung and he didn't want to move so that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not be awakened. But it hurt so much that eventually he started tearing up and his tears fell on the face of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet alaihi wasallam asked him what was wrong. So he woke up anyway and he said, "I was stung. May my mother and father be sacrificed for you." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam applied his blessed saliva on the foot of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and the pain immediately disappeared. They remained there for Friday, Saturday, Sunday for 3 nights. And some of those who were looking for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would look everywhere, would search everywhere. And as they searched and searched and searched, eventually what did they have to do? They needed like an emergency meeting. That these two most important men, wanted men, they're trying to persecute the Prophet ﷺ. And the Muslims, again, they migrated already. So now they are actively looking to, quote unquote, arrest the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr. They're after them. So they decided to block all the roads leading out of Mecca. And they imposed heavy armed surveillance all around the potential exits. And a massive reward, one of the historians said, a massive reward, maybe 100 camels was set for each of them, dead or alive. And they started to scour the entire region. They had infantry and horsemen, trackers. People were known to be good at tracking. And as a group of these individuals came to that area, eventually came to the area of the cave where the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr were hiding, when he saw that the enemy had started to get closer and closer and closer in distance, Abu Bakr whispered to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine this scene. Just imagine you could watch this as it's happening and unfolding. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu whispered to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "What if they were to look through this crack, this crevice, and detect us and see us?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam calmly responded, "O Abu Bakr, what do you think of two whose third is Allah? Ya Aba Bakrin, ma dhannuka bithnain Allahu thalithuhuma." In the hadith of Bukhari. It's the first hadith, by the way, of that chapter, about the virtues of the companions. "Oh Abu Bakr, what do you think of two people, the third of whom is Allah," meaning Allah is with them. And in one report, Anas radiallahu anhu reported that Abu Bakr said, "I said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, while I was in the cave, if any of these men were to now look down, if any of these men were to just look near their feet, they would see us." And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Oh Abu Bakr, what do you think of two whose third is Allah, the third of whom is Allah?" Now there is, interestingly here, for those who are have heard this before, there's a disputed hadith that when they reached the mountain, they were confounded, the people who were looking for them. And they climbed up this mountain, they passed by the cave, but they saw a spider web over the entrance of the cave. So they said, if anyone had entered here, the spider would not have spun a web over the entrance. And so they did not look in the cave. This is a disputed hadith, but perhaps it's a more popular story and one that more people are familiar with. Of course, and this is why sometimes when someone's about to kill a spider, the other person says, but the spider saved Rasulullah and Abu Bakr. Okay, well, it's a disputed hadith, and that's a very different spider. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best if these spiders are related. Completely different topic. Let's continue. In another hadith, some scholars classify it as hasan, as acceptable. And then Abu Bakr said of a man who could basically see the opposite of the cave, Ya Rasulullah, it's as though he's looking at us. He's looking at us. And the Prophet ﷺ said, no, the angels are concealing us with their wings. And indeed, Ar-Rahiq al-Makhtum mentions this. Indeed, it was a divine miracle that those who are chasing them turned eventually away when they were only a few steps away from the cave. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to save you, if Allah wants to save you, if Allah wants to save you, no amount of military or human beings can harm you. No amount of people, doesn't matter if it's all the humans on earth, doesn't matter how advanced they are. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is protecting you, you have nothing to worry about. You have nothing to worry about. But this is the trust we need in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's the trust that we have to hold on to even when things get difficult. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the greatest of the companions to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And even before Islam, he did not ever consume any intoxicants. He did not worship the idols. In fact, he found it to be very bizarre and it did not make sense to him. One time he knocked down an idol and asked if it would feed him. It didn't feed him. He left. He said, this doesn't make sense to me. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was upon the fitrah even before the wahi started. He immediately accepted Islam. He didn't hesitate. And that's why he's as-siddiq, the one who confirms the truth. Immediately accepted that the Prophet ﷺ is the messenger of Allah. No doubt whatsoever. The Prophet ﷺ said about him, if I were to take a khadid, a best friend and close confidant, I would have taken Abu Bakr, but he's my brother in Islam and my companion. One time they came to the Prophet ﷺ and asked him, Sahaba were eager to hear the answer, who do you love the most? Who's the most beloved person to you? What did he say? Who's the most beloved person to you? What was the response of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Aisha radiallahu anha. And they said, no, amongst us, meaning we mean amongst the men. Who's the most beloved person to you? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, her father, Abu Bakr radiallahu anha. And of course, by saying her father, there's a love to Aisha radiallahu anha, even in that response. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu refused to worship idols even in his youth. He was an honest judge, a wealthy merchant, loved by the people, and he influenced many people to embrace Islam. So we mentioned he wasn't the first to embrace Islam. Khadija radiallahu anhu was the first. He's the first male companion to embrace Islam. And think about this. Think about the sadaqah jari that he has. Because Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu immediately went and started giving da'wah to others. And amongst the people who embraced Islam, amongst the people converted to Islam through the efforts of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, you have Uthman bin Affan, you have Az-Zubayr, you have Talha, you have Abdurrahman bin Auf, Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, Ibn al-Jarrah, and many others as well. And 5 of the 10 of those who were given glad tidings in Jannah embraced Islam through Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He was, of course, the father-in-law to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because his daughter Aisha was married to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abu Bakr was known for his immense generosity. In fact, look at his humility here. One time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and even if we're on Zoom and we're online, anytime you hear the Prophet's name live or you read it, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, was talking about the 8 gates of Jannah. So there are 8 gates to paradise. And Abu Bakr, in his humility, said, if only I was there to see it happen. Like, where do you think Abu Bakr is going to be when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is knocking on the gates of Jannah? Where do we assume he's going to be? The Prophet ﷺ said, I hope, I wish that you are, I'm optimistic that you are, though amongst those who enter through all of the gates of Jannah. You can enter through any of the 8 gates of Jannah, because Abu Bakr asked about these 8 gates of paradise. Abu Bakr radiallahu an was amongst those who bought Muslim slaves, 7 of them, to freedom. And this shows us and gives us, and this is a much different topic here, but it gives us an idea of what it means in that time to see the institution of slavery that they had, which was different than the slavery that was common in, let's say, the Western world in the modern times. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu bought them to freedom. And amongst them was Bilal radiallahu anhu, the caller to prayer of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, because he freed many slaves, what was one of his nicknames? What was one of the nicknames of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? May Allah be pleased with him. I know I'm asking a lot of trivia questions here. I'm still in trivia mode, alhamdulillah. You guys can join us at 2:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, inshallah, for a final competition, bi'idhnillah. One of his nicknames is Jazakumullah Khairan, Atiq. Jazakumullah Khairan, Sister Maryam. It's 10 points for UK, inshallah. No Gryffindor here. We'll just say the UK. We'll give you the country points, inshallah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu participated in how many battles in which the Prophet took place in? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took part in a number of battles. How many did Abu Bakr participate in? Trivia questions. All of them. Excellent. 10 points. Nigeria, Florida, England, mashallah. England, you already took over half the world in the past, so you guys, we take all your points back, inshallah. All right, so Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, sorry guys, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu participated in all of the battles that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam participated in. Think about this, the Battle of Badr, the first large-scale engagement between the Muslims and the pagans of Mecca. This took place in which month? This took place in which month? The Battle of Badr? The Battle of Badr took place in the month of Ramadan, 17th of Ramadan. So think about this. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu guarding Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was entrusted with his safety. And it was reported that Abdul Rahman, the son of Abu Bakr, was with the disbelievers on the day of Badr. He became a Muslim later on. So listen to this remarkable response from Abu Bakr. His son, who was still not Muslim at the time and was fighting the Muslims, he said to his father after he became Muslim, after Abdul Rahman became Muslim, he said, "You were exposed to me on the day of Badr and I turned away from you. I did not kill you." Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, "As for me, if you were exposed to me," meaning if I had got hold of you, "I would not have turned away from you," even to his own son. And in this situation, the iman of Abu Bakr comes out. That his priority is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His love is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Battle of Badr, there were many famous incidents, amongst them Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu providing support and telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Allah will assist you, Allah will help you," meaning Allah will aid his messenger. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam compared Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in one report to Isa alayhi salam in terms of softness. Fast forward. In the Battle of Uhud, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu defended the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he became irritated at the companions who did not agree with the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fast forward, Banu Nadir, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was sitting next to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when Jibreel alayhi salam gave him revelation, brought down revelation about moving locations. Fast forward, Banu Musalliq, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was involved in the necklace issue or the situation that took place with Aisha radiallahu anha. And when some verses were revealed about tayammum, the Sahaba proclaimed, "This is not the first of your blessings, O family of Abu Bakr." There were many ayat of the Quran that came down confirming the opinions that Abu Bakr had expressed or his family, Aisha, had expressed as well. Fast forward, in the Battle of Khandaq, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu played a massive role. In fact, there's, of course, the revelation of Surah An-Nur, Ayah 22, regarding Abu Bakr getting upset at his cousin for the slander of Aisha radiallahu anha. وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. Let them pardon and forgive. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Do you not wish for Allah to forgive you? And Abu Bakr said, "I do. I wish for Allah to forgive me." And he forgave his cousin and started paying him even more of an allowance. Look at the status of Abu Bakr in terms of the purity of his heart. You look at the incident of Hudaybiyah, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu played a really crucial role. He advised the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on fighting only if attacked. And he also basically expressed a number of opinions that were important in that time for someone to express around the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the other companions. Fast forward to conquest of Mecca. He was riding next to the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he recited back poetry to him. Look at the incident of Ta'if. The oldest son of Abu Bakr was wounded, and it led to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu uttering a number of famous statements at the attacker who eventually accepted Islam. You look at the incident of Tabuk. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu competed with Umar. This is one of the most beautiful stories. Listen to this. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, the great mountain of a companion, Umar radiallahu anhu, said, "One time the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded us to give sadaqah, charity. And at that time, I had some property. So I said, today, I will finally surpass Abu Bakr if there is any day that I were to surpass him," meaning it would be today. "Today, I'm going to finally do something to excel beyond Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu." Look at this beautiful competition for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for Jannah. So he said, "I therefore brought half of my wealth, half of my property." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, "What did you leave for your family?" I responded, "The same amount," meaning the other half. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu brought all that he had with him. The Prophet asked him, what did you leave for your family? He responded, I left Allah and His Messenger for them. And then I said, Umar said, I shall never compete with you in anything. It's reported by Sunan Abi Dawud. Umar radiallahu anhu was constantly trying to raise the bar, and he was doing so much, no doubt. And yet Abu Bakr is that far ahead. Radiallahu anhu, what does that tell us about the status of Abu Bakr, that even Umar is saying, you have exhausted us. Oh, Abu Bakr, you've exhausted us. We cannot catch up to you. Brothers and sisters, let's look for companionship that inspires us to be better, that exhausts us in doing acts of worship. Not the companionship that will cause us to start cussing, to start committing sins, to start wasting time, to start gossiping and slandering, to start being distracted from salah. No, look for the companionship that will inspire you. Perhaps it won't inspire you to give all of your wealth and charity, but it will inspire you to raise the bar for yourself. And don't just look for that companionship. Be that companion for other people. Be that friend to other people for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us sincerity and healthy competition for His sake, racing alongside one another to the highest levels of Jannah. وَسَارِعُوا وَسَابِقُوا وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. Race, compete, rush. Let the competitors compete, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. So in other words, it's a command. Race with one another to the forgiveness of Allah and to paradise. It was also reported that the companions used to say, listen to this, they used to say during the lifetime of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best of this ummah after its prophet is Abu Bakr, and then Umar, and then Uthman. This is reported by al-Bukhari, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam approved of that. He approved of that statement, did not reject it. This was reported by Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma. And during Hajj, in the ninth year, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was placed in charge, indicating what? He was placed in charge to lead the Muslims for Hajj. What does this indicate? This is a massive, massive responsibility. There's a clear sign that comes with this, that he would be the next to lead the Muslim Ummah, that he would be the first of the Khulafa. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. It was reported one time, a woman came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam for a need. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ordered her to come back later. He couldn't at that time take care of the need. So he told her, come back later. And then she asked a follow-up question that was really interesting. She said, what if I don't find you? What if I don't find you later when I come? Meaning, what should I do? Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, then go to Abu Bakr. When he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, addressed people at the end of his life, he ordered the people to seal the branching doors to the masjid, all of them except for the door of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And brothers and sisters, as uplifting as much of this is about the virtues of Abu Bakr, there is a sad moment we need to address. And it is the day that the Prophet ﷺ returned to his Lord. In year 11, after the Hijrah, the Prophet ﷺ was fainting and sweating. And he would give many advices. And these are farewell advices. Amongst them, as-salah, as-salah, the prayer, take care of your prayer, take care of your prayer. It's the first thing Allah will ask about on the Day of Judgment. Are you ready for that question? Take care of your salah in terms of the time of your prayer. Pray your prayer on time. You have a gap between the beginning and the end time for each salah. Make sure you pray your prayers on time, and you guard your prayer in terms of khushu'. Guard your prayer. Don't allow much of it to be taken away in terms of reward. Protect your salah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the end of his life received the final revelation. According to one opinion, this revelation took place 9 days or 9 nights before the passing of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Does anyone here want to tell us quickly, trivia question, what this ayah was, the final revelation that was 9 nights before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away? Quick trivia question for anyone who wants to take a shot at it, inshallah ta'ala. Warming us up for the trivia later tonight. The last verse to be revealed, according to this opinion, according to many authentic hadith. That's a good guess. It's not correct, but it's a good guess. Al-Yawma Akmaltu is also a good guess. That was the last hukum, ruling, but not the last ayah. Surah An-Nasr was the last complete surah to be revealed, but not the last ayah. Those are all great guesses, mashallah. Should we do a spin the wheel for this? Ma'idah ayah 3 was the last hukum, the last ruling. So that's a really good guess, but it wasn't the last ayah because it took place a while before the Prophet ﷺ passed away. Yes, it is in Surah Al-Baqarah. It is one ayah in Surah Al-Baqarah. You can't say Surah Al-Baqarah and get the points for that because it's 286 verses. 278. It's a nice random guess, mashallah. Yes, Jazakumullah khairan, Firdausa in Dublin. 100 points to Ireland, mashallah. Mashallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and think about the weight of this, knowing today that this is the last ayah to be revealed after 23 years of gradual revelation. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. And fear the day in which you will return to Allah, and then every soul will be given what it earned, what it deserves, and no one will be wronged on that day, no injustice on that day. This is the last ayah to be revealed. Think about the weight of that. There's a lot to take from this. Jazakumullah khairan for sharing the references. Barakallahu fikum. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received this ayah. He's sweating, fainting. Finally, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not able to lead for the first time one of the prayers, he appoints someone to lead the prayer. And of course, it is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. This is another sign of what? The leadership of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He led the Hajj for the Muslims, for the pilgrims. He's leading the prayers now. People are being told, when you have questions and the Prophet ﷺ is unavailable, go to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Think of his status, the closest to Rasulullah ﷺ, the greatest in faith in terms of the companions of Rasulullah ﷺ. So it was reported that at the end of his life, Rasulullah ﷺ is getting sick and he's fainting, and he's having Abu Bakr lead the prayer for the ummah. And at this point in his life, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I want us to really think about just the scenario here. Imagine you were there seeing this happen before your eyes, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is no longer in a way present with the community, leading the prayers. And they started to miss him. They started to miss the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's a lot to say about it, but ultimately here, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in the lap of Aisha radiallahu anha, saying, La ilaha illallah, inna lil mawti la sakarat. There is no God but Allah. Verily, there are pains and pangs to death. This is the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, experiencing a purification or a raising of ranks at the moment of death. And we know that he's forgiven. We know he's in the highest levels of Jannah. We know he has al-wasila, the highest rank. Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then starts to say, Ma'an nabiyyina wa s-siddiqina wa shuhada'i wa s-salihin. Allahumma ighfir li warhamni walhiqni birrafiq al-a'la, Allahumma rafiq al-a'la. With the prophets and the righteous and the truthful. Oh Allah, forgive me and have mercy on me and allow me to be with the exalted companionship. Oh Allah, I ask you for the exalted companionship. What is this referring to? Previously, before this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, and the companions heard this. And in fact, this was one of the reasons that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu started to cry. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that there was a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, abdun khayyarahu Allah, a slave of Allah who was given the choice between the adornment of this life to stay here on earth. Wama 'inda, basically, and what is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he chose what is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Abu Bakr started to cry because he recognized this is referring to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when the Prophet said, "Wabayna ma 'inda fakhtara ma 'inda," he chose what is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Bakr understood the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to pass away soon. In that last Ramadan before he passed away, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Jibril alaihi salam, who comes down every Ramadan to review the Quran with him, reviewed it with him twice, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And at the end of his life, he's fainting. This is on the day of Monday, Al-Ithnain, and this is the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal, according to the majority of historians. And on that day, the Prophet ﷺ is saying these words and repeating them, and then finally he's lifting his finger in the in the lap of Aisha radiallahu anha, and finally as he's saying these words of shahada, the Prophet ﷺ departs from this world, and Aisha radiallahu anha says, Mata Rasulullah, Mata Rasulullah, the messenger has died, the messenger has died. It was the darkest day in Medina, the heaviest day for the companions, the heaviest days. And I want you to imagine, especially those who were there from day one, I want you to imagine how Abu Bakr must have felt. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who was the first male companion to enter into Islam, can you imagine how he felt? Can you imagine how the companions felt, knowing that they could always go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam But now the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam had departed. The wahi, the revelation, has ended. That final miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has come to a completion, to a close. Now there is a responsibility on the ummah. It is a really, really heavy day. And Umar radiallahu anhu, the mountain, Umar radiallahu anhu, is in so much shock that he was telling others, do not say Rasulullah has passed away. Refuse to accept that the Prophet ﷺ passed away. They were in shock. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was actually at another area of Medina, because the day before, the health of the Prophet ﷺ had improved a bit. So Abu Bakr left. When he heard the news, he came right back. Went straight to, as he saw the people in panic, talking. And Umar radiallahu anhu and the people were basically in this moment of denial. Went straight to the room in which the Prophet ﷺ had passed away. He uncovered the face of the Prophet ﷺ. He kissed his forehead. And the Prophet ﷺ said, may my mother and father be sacrificed for you, Ya Rasulullah. You have experienced the death that Allah decreed for you. There is no death after this for you. There's no departure for you after this. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu goes out to the people. And now, in this crucial, decisive moment in history, you see Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in terms of his khilafah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu told Umar to sit down twice, and Umar refused. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said to the people, and he started to preach on the minbar, to proceed, O people, من كان يعبد محمدا فإن محمدا قد مات ومن كان يعبد الله فإن الله حي لا يموت. Whoever amongst you used to worship Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then know that he has died. And whoever used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then know that Allah is alive and he never dies. And then he recited the ayah, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِن قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلُ. Muhammad is but a messenger, and messengers before have passed on before him. So if he was to die or be killed, would you turn back on your heels to disbelief? And whoever turns back on their heels will never harm Allah, and Allah will reward the grateful. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, by Allah, it was as if the people never knew that Allah had revealed this ayah before until Abu Bakr recited it in that moment, and that people received it from him. And I heard everyone reciting it, meaning people were repeating it over and over. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, my legs could not support me. And I fell down at the very moment of hearing Abu Bakr reciting it, declaring that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam had passed away. So it's as though finally it was understood. It's as though finally it was understood. This is in Surah Ali Imran, verse 144. Imagine that moment that is so difficult on the ummah, the Prophet ﷺ departing. Brothers and sisters, before we continue with the virtues of Abu Bakr, I want to say one thing about this. Just one last note on this crucial and decisive statement of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The month of Ramadan is almost over and it is going to depart. The month of Ramadan is going to leave. How happy would the Messenger ﷺ be for you? How much would he smile and be grateful and appreciative for you if you were to continue worshiping Allah consistently long after Ramadan departs? So whoever amongst us started to worship in Ramadan and became more religious in Ramadan, became more practicing in Ramadan, and avoided issues and problems in Ramadan, know that Ramadan will pass, will leave. You're bidding farewell to it. We have final moments with Ramadan. And whoever amongst us worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever living. And he never leaves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Lord of all months, not just the Lord of Ramadan. So let's turn to him consistently throughout the year. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had so much iman and so much wisdom in that difficult time. And faith is tested in different times. Faith is tested in different ways. That was no doubt a very heavy test for the companions, the departure of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his wisdom had already revealed the verse that they needed, the verse that they had recited so many times, and yet they were shocked when finally the Messenger ﷺ departed from this world. It's as though they did not believe that it would happen. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu here, as a khalifa, as a leader, as a companion, as a friend, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the one who helped preserve that situation. Can you imagine the feelings of those who were hearing the news as it started to spread across the region, across Medina, across different cities? The Prophet ﷺ has returned to his Lord. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, became the Khalifa. And in just 27 months, because he was alive for 27 months after that, he achieved a lot. He crushed one of the rebellions that took place, one of the successful wars at that time. And he sent Al-Khalid ibn Walid radiallahu anhu on a number of conquests, which helped against the Sassanid Empire in Mesopotamia and against the Byzantine Empire in Syria, paving the way to one of the largest empires in history. He appointed a committee to compile and preserve the Quran in written format after many Huffaz were killed as shuhada. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the first to do that. And many companions said he receives the reward for that until the end of times, because he started something that was very important. And he wanted to follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam closely, even in death. So Umar radiallahu anhu led the funeral prayer, the janazah prayer for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And where was he buried? He was buried to the side of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the house of Aisha, which can be found, of course, in Masjid al-Nabawi today. When Abu Bakr died, radiallahu anhu, he was 63 years old, and his khilafah had lasted for only 2 years and 3 months approximately. And during his illness, he was constantly thinking about the future of the Muslim Ummah, its future stability. So after consulting with many of the well-known companions, the close ones to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he decided to confer the khilafah on Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu. And again, there are many other virtues for that, and that is beyond the scope of our talk today. But he gave advice to Umar, and this is the last thing that we'll say here. He gave advice to Umar radiallahu anhu on how to lead his people, ending with the following words. And he said, if you follow this advice, if you follow the advice that I'm giving you, nothing unknown will be more acceptable to you than death. But if you reject it, nothing unknown will be more frightening than death. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other words. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other words. Can you imagine now the weight of that? The khilafah of Abu Bakr, the one who was always racing ahead, and Umar was looking at him and saying, you've exhausted us. And now Umar has that sense of responsibility that he has to move forward for the Muslim Ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with Abu Bakr and all of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and allow us to meet Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in the highest levels of Jannah, and allow us to learn from his life. He was the greatest companion to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there from the very beginning. He was there and he was constantly supporting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, participating wherever he could. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, his iman is beyond the imagination that we can possibly have in terms of implementation. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the one that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, going back to the ayah that we started with and we will end with, لا تحزن إن الله معنا. لا تحزن إن الله معنا. لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Brothers and sisters, let's take at least the element of tawakkul, the element of real trust and sidq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the life and legacy of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Truly trust that Allah is with you, even when it looks like the situation is difficult, even when it looks like there's no way out. You're stuck in a cave and the military of an entire region, the most powerful people of Arabia in their minds, coming to attack you, assassinate you, persecute, looking for you. They are right there at the foot or the steps of the cave. And still, they could not capture them. Still, they could not take them. They could not see them. Allah is with you. And if you want, take this as, if you want a daily reminder for yourself, remind yourself day and night frequently, Allah is with me. Allah is watching over me. Allah is protecting me. Allah is a witness over me. Keep repeating these words and these thoughts and let them constantly run through your mind. Don't be sad. Allah is with us. Don't be sad. Allah is with you. Don't be sad. Allah is protecting you. Don't be sad. Allah is watching over you. Don't be sad. Allah is decreeing for you. You take this as a belief and a principle for every situation, you will find an impact in your daily life. You will find an impact long after Ramadan, that Allah is watching over you, that Allah is protecting you, that Allah is a witness over you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawakkul of the highest standards and allow us to constantly trust in him and assume good of him and believe in his wisdom in all situations, easy and difficult. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us good companionship and make us a source of good companionship and influence for others. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to meet Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu in the highest levels of Jannah. Allahumma ameen.